We welcome you back to our service this evening. It's always a joy and a privilege to gather to hear baptism testimonies, to hear those who have come to trust in Christ, and they get a chance to share what the Lord has done in their lives. So we're grateful for that privilege, but we welcome you tonight. If you're our guest, we're so glad you've come to be with us. Perhaps you came because of this, because someone you know is being baptized. Perhaps just in God's providence, you just happened to join us on a special evening. Regardless, we're grateful that you're here and know that you're welcome. You've come on a night as well. Let me just mention that after the service, we will have what we call our Countryside Connection. It's just a brief informal reception with a chance for me and my wife Sheila and some of the elders and their wives and some of the staff as well, just to visit with you informally. So if you're new to our church, if you've been coming and you'd like to get together, we'd love that opportunity. Maybe you have some questions, or maybe you'd just like to have a chance to meet, or maybe you just like some good refreshments. No, don't come just for that reason. But I do hope that if you're newer to our church and you've not had a chance to attend yet one of the Countryside Connections and have a chance to interact with the elders and with our wives, I hope you'll come after the service. Immediately following the service down in the fellowship hall, we welcome you to join us there. And that goes for those of you who are visiting tonight. If you are thinking about this as your church, we'd welcome you to come as well, even if this is your first time with us. Just a couple of things to mention to you before we pray and have a chance to begin our time of baptisms together. First of all, I have a wonderful report from our church plant. This morning was the first morning that Northlake Bible Church, a plant from our church, met in Northlake. And they were all eager to invite their family and friends in the area. And Dusty and I were interacting this afternoon, and they had 100 guests who visited with them this morning. And many of them expressed an interest in a church just like our church and like Northlake and committing there. And so we'll see what the Lord does. But they were very encouraged, and you can pray that those that would be a right fit for the church and would be encouraged and strengthened by it would connect and stay and find a home there at Northlake Bible Church. Pray for the folks there as they seek to sort of bring into the fold and incorporate those who may come out of that and join the church into the life of the body week in and week out. So we're excited about that. This has all been a fulfillment and fruition of a lot of prayer and a lot of planning, and we're just grateful to the Lord. He is good, and he's been good in answering our prayers in that way. So be in prayer for Northlake Bible Church in the weeks ahead. Also, I want to mention that in addition to the Countryside Connection I've already alluded to, this coming weekend is our annual conference, and we would really encourage you, if you haven't yet signed up, you can do that online. We encourage you to come and be a part of that. It's a wonderful time. This year's conference theme is on missions. And as you've heard me say, if you want to be like Jesus Christ, then you have to have a heart for missions, because that was his heart. That's what brought him, a heart for the world. And we need to have that heart as well. And this is just an encouragement in that end. I know you'll be enriched and encouraged, know better how to serve those who serve on our behalf, as well as maybe consider your own contribution, how you can as well fit into that great commission the Lord's given us in Matthew 28. So I hope you'll plan to be here. It's Friday night, Saturday morning, and then again on Sunday morning. Next Sunday night, there is no evening service. Because of the conference on Friday night and Saturday morning, we will not meet next Sunday night. But it will be, again, Friday night, Saturday morning, and Sunday morning as usual, but with our conference emphasis next weekend. So I hope you'll sign up to be involved in that, to attend. And then, as you heard Jonathan mention this morning, we still need some folks to help us with the children's side of the conference. There's a great kids' conference that complements what we'll be learning, a great way for our kids to be exposed, for your kids to be exposed, and if you're able to serve, for you to help minister to the other families in our church. So I hope you'll pray about that, consider that, and let us know if you can serve. Just contact the church office. I know they met today, but I'm sure if we still need some help, there'll be a way to squeeze you in and find a way to get you involved. So I hope you'll plan to do that. Well, those are a lot of things to be in prayer about, and we want to do that now as we begin our time of baptism. I want to start us with prayer, so you join me as we pray together. Our Father, it is with joyful hearts that we gather this evening. We thank you for what you are doing through your church. Thank you for what you're doing through this church. Lord, for the privilege of knowing and serving with the people here, for the relationships we enjoy, for the ministry that takes place, for the care for one another, for the love for the truth. Lord, we thank you for all of those things that mark this body of believers. And Lord, we acknowledge that this is your doing and the work of your Spirit and the work of your Word, and we're grateful. Lord, we pray that you'd continue that work here. But we also thank you for answering our prayers, for what we've heard even about this morning and the inaugural official launch of North Lake Bible Church, and Lord, the privilege of partnering with them who've gone out from us now to plant a like-minded church in that community. Lord, we pray that you would encourage all of them tonight. At the same time, that you would keep them leaning on you as they think about bringing all of those who are thinking about joining into the life of the church, into the functional day-to-day body life. Lord, I pray that you'd give them wisdom and grace to do that. Lord, we also pray for the upcoming conference. We thank you for the opportunity to reflect on the great theme of missions. Lord, give us such a heart. Give us that kind of heart individually as believers, and give us that kind of heart as a church, that we would care about what our Lord cares about, that the passions of our life would be the passions of his heart. Lord, I pray that even this weekend would bring each of us along further to that end. We pray for those who will open the Word of God to us. Lord, help them as they prepare, that they would prepare what you would have them share with us, and that the result would be for our growth, for our encouragement, for our good. Lord, we also pray for those who will share their testimonies in baptism in just a few minutes. I pray that you would give them grace, that you'd give them courage, and even joy. Joy in the privilege and opportunity of confessing Jesus Christ as Lord to those who gathered here tonight. Lord, I ask that most of all, in what happens here, that you would be honored, that your great name and everything connected to you would be lifted up and exalted. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is a joy to hear from those who will be baptized tonight. Some of you maybe are new to a baptism service where each one shares his or her testimony with us. We are all enriched by that. It's a real highlight for me. I think you're going to enjoy hearing what the Lord has done in each of their lives from their own lips, from their own words. And I think what will happen is, what always happens is, if you're in Christ, you will hear your story or a similar story told tonight, and you'll rejoice in what the Lord has done in these lives and in your own. And I hope you'll also be in prayer for those who may be here with us or may be live streaming the service who have never come to trust in Christ, that they will hear the gospel in seven unique ways, and that through that gospel, they'll come to genuine faith. Now, it's important for you to understand what is and isn't happening here tonight. If you're newer to what baptism is, there is no saving power to this water I stand in or in which I will immerse them. It is instead simply a picture. It is an outward visible sign of a spiritual reality that has already happened to them. This is a confession of something that has already transpired in their lives. It's not that something is uniquely happening in and through this water tonight. What each of them is confessing is that they have come to understand their sinfulness. They've come to understand their standing before God as hopeless, that they could never be right with God on their own. And yet they've also come to understand that Jesus Christ was God's gift. He sent his only Son into the world in order to reconcile us to God, to make it possible for us to be forgiven, to make it possible for us to be adopted by God, to be declared right with God, all through the work of Jesus Christ, the Redeemer. God's only Son, and yet fully and completely man. He came to deal with sin. It was promised in Genesis 3 that there would be a person, a unique person who would come and deal finally and ultimately with sin. And all through the Old Testament, it was anticipated that he would come. And as the Old Testament unfolds, we learn more and more about who he would be and what people he would be from and what family and what tribe and even where he would be born. And Daniel 9, when he would be born. And so when the time of the first century came, there was great anticipation. And all of that was fulfilled in Jesus Christ our Lord. And what they have gathered to confess tonight is that they have come to understand that through the life of Jesus, his perfect life lived in their place, through the death of Jesus, his substitutionary death, in which he bore, as Peter puts it, he bore their sins in his body on the tree. He died bearing their sins, enduring the judgment of God against their sins, so that God could still be just and forgive them completely and entirely, pardon them. And then God raised Jesus from the dead as his own testimony to that great reality. So that is what has already happened, is they have already come to believe and to testify to those things. And at the moment they believed, there was a dramatic change that took place in their lives. Jesus called it being born again. Paul uses the image of someone who's raised from the dead. It's called regeneration. In a moment of time, the Spirit of God makes the believing sinner a new person. He gives them new spiritual life where they can relate to God, where they love God, and they hate things they once loved. And that's what's pictured in baptism, that change. As I take them under the water, it's a picture that they died to the person they used to be. That old life before Christ is gone. And then as I bring them up out of the water, it's a picture that they have been raised just like Christ was raised and with him to new life. And the person they are now is a new creation in Jesus Christ. So that's the picture. It's a wonderful, beautiful picture of the gospel as they confess their faith in Jesus Christ. And in the very act of baptism, picture the change that has been produced in their souls. So I do hope that you'll be in prayer for them as they come now to share their testimonies with us.
Hi, my name is Wanda Brooks, and I'm going to share my testimony of how Jesus Christ saved my life. My life before salvation consisted of going through life. Day by day without purpose. I was never truly a troublemaker. I had desires to party or do things of that sort, but I never felt fulfilled and always felt lost and wandering without a purpose. Just as spoken of in Jeremiah 56, my people have been lost sheep. Throughout my childhood, I watched my grandmother, who was a believer, and witnessed true happiness and joy, although she struggled with multiple illnesses. I remember thinking to myself, I want to be just like that. Through my grandmother's biblical teaching, regardless of my behavior, I still knew that I was a sinner in need of a Savior, per Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. After attending church services with my grandmother, I grew to understand Luke 19:10 that says the Son of Man came to seek and to save. That which was lost. In Psalms 107:13-14, they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of the darkness and the shadow of death. I knew in my heart this was me in need of salvation. Therefore, at the age of 18, I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I was no longer lost, but found. Since coming to Christ, I've grasped hold to, believed, and experienced, and continually experienced during every day of my life. By the grace of God, 2 Corinthians 5:17. If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. By the age of 19, I was married to Dathan Brooks and given birth to our firstborn. As babes in Christ, Dathan and I quickly joined a non-denominational church and were faithful in the work of the ministry for over 16 years until realizing that Scripture was being manipulated and taught in error. One morning, by the grace of God, my husband accidentally heard John MacArthur's radio broadcast, and our lives was changed forever. Through expository teaching of the Scriptures, our eyes were opened. And receptive to the truth of God's word. Long story short, by God's providence, our jobs led us to Texas, which led us to Countryside Bible Church, which opened our eyes to our Lord's ordinances, which we are to obey. So I'm now here to be baptized.
Well, Wanda, thank you so much for your clear testimony of faith in Christ. It's so wonderful to know that you, who once were a lost sheep, are now one of his sheep. You are now part of his fold. And because you have confessed Jesus Christ as Lord, because your faith is in him and his finished work alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Hello, my name is Dathan Brooks, and I'm here to share my testimony of how I came to salvation in Christ. Before I came to faith in Christ, my life was filled with sin and shame. My sin ranged from youthful mischief and a sin-driven lifestyle to simply not knowing the Lord and living life with an unrepentant heart. One evening, my wife were attending a revival gathering with her grandmother at some local church she knew of. I had no understanding of what took place, but when they returned, I noticed my wife was very different. She seemed happy and joyful at the fact that something has changed in her life, or that she was saved, is what she said. So the next day, they went again, and this time they asked if I would come. So I did, not knowing that what I was about to encounter became the start of the best thing that ever happened to me. So I came to the service, and there was a preacher there proclaiming the gospel to the audience. And after he finished his sermon, he asked if there was any that would like to be saved. After hearing the message that was preached and knowing for sure I was a sinner needing the grace of God in my life, I stood up, went to the front, he began to pray for me right there before the church. He helped me to understand the repentance of my sins and to believe that God raised Christ from the dead, and then I'll be saved. And according to Galatians 5:20, I began to experience the joy and happiness of the fruits of the Spirit at knowing my soul is saved and hidden with Christ in God, as Colossians 3:3 says. Since that day I came to Christ, I am so thankful-hearted and elated of the change that has come to me. I and my family had begun our search for the right church home to continue learning and serving. For the 16 years, we became very faithful at the church. We settled that since our salvation and grew more in the knowledge of our Lord and learned to hold the word up as the only high standard. So I'm here today with a broken spirit and a contrite heart to be obedient to the Lord and be baptized.
Dathan, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. We're encouraged with what the Lord's done in your life and Wanda's life to bring you to this point, to bring you to understand the gospel, as well as to seek out the truth and to love His truth. Jesus said, "My sheep hear My voice," that is in the Scripture. And because you have repented of your sins, because you put your faith in Jesus Christ, because He has saved you, and because you now follow Him as Lord and Master, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Jessica, and I asked to be baptized as a follower of Jesus Christ. When I was little, my parents taught me that Jesus is my Savior. John 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. As a little kid, I was easily able to accept God's great love for us and that Jesus was our Lord and Savior. But learning to follow Jesus and understanding how badly I needed Him as my Savior took time. I have and always will be a sinner. I have repeated many sins and tried to justify them. Even though I have claimed to be a Christian throughout my life, my lack of willingness to give up my sins has made me worldly. James 4, verse 4. Therefore, anyone who chooses to be a friend of the world becomes an enemy of God. I have matured as a Christian and been able to see how lost I am without God. I have always asked myself, if God called out to me and told me to drop everything, would I be able to? I have always wanted to say yes, but I've known that in the past I would have struggled to truly drop everything. I don't know when this changed, but it did. I am still a sinner, but I love Jesus and seek to live my life in service to the Lord. Ephesians 2 verse 9, God saves you by His grace when you believed, and you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. I know that there are no works that I can do to deserve salvation. I look to the Lord for strength and His saving grace and seek to honor Him with everything I do. I will always be humbled by His grace to save me from my sins and must continually pray for forgiveness as I strive to do away with my worldly habits and become more like Jesus. I feel great joy to know that He is my Savior. Isaiah 40 verse 31. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary, and they will walk and not be faint. And so, in order to obediently follow Jesus and declare my eagerness to serve Him and to live biblically, I'm here to be baptized.
Jessica, thank you for sharing your testimony with us. And we rejoice that you came to see that you were a sinner as the rest of us are, and that you understood that it's only by grace. I love that passage that you quoted. It's only by His grace that we have been saved. Because you rely solely on His grace in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins and to be right with God, it is my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Andrew Hahn. I would have considered myself a Christian since I was a little kid. I grew up in a Methodist church and was surrounded by a Christian family. My parents taught my brothers and I about Jesus. I knew the stories and thought I understood them. At age 19, I left home to join the Marine Corps. I stopped going to church and basically acted like the world, indulging in a life of unrepentant sin. I still considered myself a Christian, but my lifestyle did not display it. When I was 24, I married my wife, Candace. We were both Christians, behaving as good people, but I was not attending church or really walking with the Lord. Throughout my adulthood, I would have called myself a good person. I would have called myself a Christian. I didn't really do anything too bad, but I wasn't really walking with the Lord. In 2018, when everything was going well for me, I had a health problem that made my world come crashing down. Everything I had worked and planned for was in jeopardy. I felt completely helpless. It was the lowest point in my life. It was at this point I felt like God was saying, "Remember me." My family and I began attending a seeker-friendly church. The people were friendly, but the watered-down self-help message left us longing for more. I've always enjoyed John MacArthur's teachings, so my wife did a search on the Master's Seminary website, and we discovered Countryside. We watched a few Sundays online and then began attending on Easter Sunday. Each week we attended, things became more clear to me. The true gospel, which is found in Romans 3, verses 23 through 25, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified as a gift by his grace through the redemption which is in Christ Jesus, whom God displayed as a propitiation in his blood through faith." Also, what Jesus did for me and what my response should be. I began to see all the sin in my life, hate it, and repent, as written in Mark 1:15, repent and believe in the gospel. I felt and believe that I had become a Christian for the first time. Each day as I read the scriptures and hear it taught, the Holy Spirit allows me to learn and grow a little more. My eyes are open to the depth of the Bible. I no longer look to God as a self-help tool. I look to God and ask, how can I glorify him with my life? I am humbled by God's grace and prepared to live a life of repentance and sanctification. Because of this rebirth and the command in Matthew 28:19, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, it is time for me to be baptized."
Well, Andrew, thank you. Thanks for sharing your testimony. You need to know that you are an answer to a prayer I pray every Sunday, and not just on Sunday, but throughout the week, that God would bring people to our church and through our church bring them to a faith in Christ. So we thank God for you and for his work in your life. Because you have clearly understood the gospel, you've understood that it's by no effort of your own, but solely by the work of Jesus Christ, even in the verse you shared, that it's because of the propitiation, the satisfaction of God's wrath that Christ himself paid for you. It's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
My name is Emma Carlson. Before I came to Christ, I thought I was just fine. My parents taught me God's word, and I heard it every week at church. I knew Awana verses like Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God," but I didn't see myself in that description. That only seemed to apply to people who behaved worse than I. By societal standards, I was a good kid, but in reality, I had the heart problem of Jeremiah 17:9. "The heart is more deceitful than all else and is desperately sick. Who can understand it?" As I matured, I did a better job of being outwardly respectful, but it was with the motivation of being a decent human, not striving to please the Lord. As a kid, I was afraid of dying, and I didn't know why. Although I can't say exactly when I was saved, I do remember sitting in Sunday school in the South Building in about ninth grade. Gary Amack was teaching the lesson, and I remember realizing that if I died, I would not go to heaven, and I would be punished because I heard the gospel countless times in my life, but had never seen that that desperately wicked meant me. Going to church every week, listening, singing, and simply doing the church kid routine was not going to save me. Only God showing me that I was lost and needed a Savior could. High school was full of doubting my salvation. Seeing God's goodness and the ways He has worked in my life since then has brought assurance. I'm incredibly thankful for the difficult times and painful consequences of leaning on my own understanding, because through them I see His sovereignty and provision. Only He can help me find thankfulness, joy, and contentment wherever I am in life. Only He can help me forgive others, because He personally forgave me a debt I can never repay. Galatians 2:20 is a favorite reminder. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself up for me. Since Jesus Christ took my place on the cross, the ultimate purpose of my life is to glorify and honor Him. Although I will never be free of my sin in this life, my desire is to continue in sanctification every day. I strive to be more like Him by spending time in His Word, in prayer, and in fellowship with other believers. I wasn't baptized when I was younger because my parents did not want to encourage a false profession. For quite a while, I just forgot about it. And last year, I was convicted that I had not followed God's command for believers, and I realized why I hadn't. I didn't want to because it was uncomfortable to me. I also was thinking of baptism wrongly and felt that I was not mature or good enough yet. But nothing of salvation or baptism is about anything worthwhile I have done. Not in me, but only Him. So I'm here tonight to obey.
Well, Emma, thank you. You know, having been here at Countryside for 17 years, it's been my joy to watch your family and to watch you through the years as the Lord has matured you and as now He has brought you to a true saving knowledge of Himself. Because you clearly understand the gospel, because your hope is in Christ and Him alone, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is David Lawrence. I was born into a Christian household and have been exposed to the truths in the Bible for as long as I can remember. Despite hearing the truth taught to me faithfully by my parents and leaders in church, I willfully allowed my heart to be corrupted with sin. I didn't do what I was told, and I always fought with my siblings and constantly got in trouble. When I was caught and given correction, I didn't understand why. I hated it, and my only thought would be not to get caught next time. Proverbs 15:10 says, "Grievous punishment is in for him who forsakes the way. He who hates reproof will die." During middle school, I started asking God to forgive my sin, and I prayed the sinner's prayer several times, but I never truly came to faith in Christ. I still loved my sin, and I was running straight down the path to hell. When I started high school, my family moved and started attending Countryside. I would attend services, youth, and events, take notes, and pretend to listen during sermons, but only because my friends actually did. I never really understood the gospel, or much of the Bible for that matter. At one point, I thought I was saved and told my parents. I started serving in youth and VBS, but as time passed, my mom saw that I hadn't been growing in faith, and I still wanted my own way, so I stopped serving. Later, my mom and I had a conversation about how great God is to send His Son Jesus to live a perfect life and die on the cross, bearing the punishment of our sin. For the first time, God opened my blind eyes to understand the meaning of what Jesus did for me. I came to realize that I'm filthy before God, and the only thing I deserve is His eternal wrath. God opened my eyes to finally see how much I had fallen short of His glory, as said in Romans 3:23. I saw the importance of what Christ did for me, and I repented of my sin and put my faith in him alone. 1 Peter 3:18 says, "For Christ also died for sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit." Since then, I have wanted more of his word, fellowship with others, and I feel an increasing desire to pray. I want to read God's word and learn what it says so that I can obey him. Even after coming to Christ, I continue to sin. But as I battle with sin, I know that I am by his mercy and grace forever in him and he in me. I found myself having an increasing love for him and for others, especially my family. I praise and thank God for the wonderful work he accomplished in me and for sending his son to die so that I may live in him, pardoned by his blood. As I am reminded in 2 Corinthians 5:17, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things passed away. Behold, new things have come." Being saved by grace, I now desire to obey God and my parents more and more. My love and passion for reading the word has increased as I serve in youth, Awana, and VBS. This change in my life has given me the desire to grow more like Christ and show love to my siblings, just as Jesus says in John 15:12, "This is my commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you." I now understand what Jesus says in Matthew 28:19, and in obedience to his words, I have come here tonight to be baptized.
Well, David, thank you. It's so encouraging to hear that the Lord brought you out of a false profession, having thought that a prayer alone would save you, realizing that the Lord sees through all of that and sees the heart. And ultimately, he calls for a heart of true repentance and faith. Because you have come in repentance to the Lord, because you have put your faith completely in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Good evening. My name is Briggs Milton. Before I came to Christ, I was disobedient. I strove to honor only myself. I was selfish, prideful, and did not honor or obey my parents. I was, as it says in Ephesians 2:1, dead in my trespasses and sins. I was quick to anger and was constantly fighting and leading my siblings to strife. But when I was at church, I was that perfect kid and tried to fool everyone into believing I was a Christian. In reality, I hated going to church and thought that Pastor Tom's sermons were long and boring, but I was still caught up in the game. In one of those sermons, Pastor Tom taught on heaven and hell, and he asked a question: "Where will you go when you die?" And that question really scared me. I knew that I wasn't saved, that I was a sinner, and I knew where I would go if I died. For Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." That night, I asked my dad how I could be saved. He shared the gospel with me, and I asked God that night to save me. But my prayer wasn't genuine. It was just used as a get-out-of-hell-free card. I just pretend to be a Christian to fool people at church. I did good works to try to make myself feel better about my sin. However, one Wednesday night, Justin Turner was teaching, and he stated how people could pretend to be Christians. And I'll never forget the way he said it. "You can fool me, you can fool your friends and family, but you can never fool God." That really stood out to me. I knew I was trying to fool God, and in reality, I was actually fooling myself. Then the verse, Ephesians 2, 8-9, came to my mind. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not a result of works, so that no man may boast." I knew that I had sinned against a holy and just God, but in my pride, I didn't want to submit to him. It was that night that I realized I was a fool before God. And before my head hit the pillow that night, I had confessed my sins to God and asked him to forgive me, a sinner. I asked him to be the Lord of my life so that I could serve him as Lord and Master. This verse summarizes it beautifully. Mark 1:15, "The time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." As I thought about how now I am a friend and heir of God, I remembered Luke 15:10, where Christ says, "I tell you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." I realized that in my conversion, I was bringing worship to God. And as that realization struck me, I knew I wanted to bring worship and honor to him for the rest of my life. Since I have come to Christ, my life has changed. I don't get mad at my siblings quite as quickly. I strive to honor and obey my parents as well as God through my actions. I am by no means a perfect person. I still sin and am sickened by the thought that I brought shame to my Lord. But I am repentant and confess my sins to God. I remember the cross, and because of what Jesus did, God now looks at my sin and sees Christ's righteousness. I am, as it says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, a new creature. I now have a continual yearning to grow in God's word and to meditate in it, to find what he wants me to learn about him each day. I also have a continual growing prayer life. I now look at prayer as a gift and privilege from God to communicate with him through prayer and to open my heart to him and ask for his wisdom to guide me through life's trials and circumstances. I memorize God's word to defend my faith. I stand up for it and use it to defend itself. Because of the remarkable change in my life and to obey my Lord and Savior's command in Matthew 28:19-20, I'm here tonight to be baptized.
Well, Briggs, we are so grateful that the Lord has drawn you from a life of pretense to a life of reality, that you have come to truly embrace Jesus Christ as Lord and to desire to follow him. Because of that change that he has produced in you, because of even those new affections you were describing, because of those new desires, because of a changed life, but ultimately because of your faith in Jesus Christ, it's my joy to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Well, that's wonderful, isn't it? Wonderful testimonies. I'm always so encouraged, as I know you are. Let me just remind you that as you sit here tonight, everyone in this room is either in Christ or in Adam. It's important for you to understand that either Adam is your representative and you get everything that he earned for you, which is eternal death, plus your own sins, or you are in Christ, and he's your representative, and you get the benefits of everything that he did. And that all comes down to whether or not you have been willing, as you heard it expressed so beautifully tonight in seven different ways, to acknowledge your sin, to acknowledge who Jesus Christ is, and to repent of those sins. That is, to turn from them, to have a willingness and a resolve to turn from the path of sin and to believe in Jesus Christ and to follow him. That's biblical repentance and faith. That's what Jesus called for. In the first sermon recorded of Jesus in Mark 1, you heard it quoted earlier tonight, in Mark 1, 14 and 15, it says that Jesus came preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and he said this: if you want to be a part of my kingdom, my spiritual kingdom, the hearts of people over whom I rule, this is what's required. Repent and believe the gospel. That's his invitation and command to you tonight if you're not in Christ. It's an invitation that's a sincere invitation of forgiveness, acceptance, reconciliation with God, to be adopted as God's child, to be changed from the inside out. And all of that is in response to repentance and faith. It's my prayer that the Lord will work in your heart tonight as he worked in some of these. Maybe you came in knowing you're not a Christian. Or maybe, like some of these, you've lived in pretense, and that pretense has been stripped away tonight. It's my hope and prayer that you will find a place alone and pour out your heart before the Lord before you go to bed tonight. If we can help you in that, any of us would love to do so. Let's pray for these and ask the Lord's blessing in their life. I hope you'll choose one or two of them. If you know them, to let them know you'll be praying for them as they continue to grow in their Christian life. Maybe you don't know them. Introduce yourself and let them know you appreciated what they shared and that you'll be praying for them in the weeks and months ahead. Let's pray together. Our Father, we do rejoice in your sovereign grace. Lord, we've heard it described in different ways. Those who came from a background of sin and paganism, those who grew up in Christian homes and knew they were not Christians, others who lived in self-deception. Lord, so many different backgrounds, and yet in the end, in your grace, you intervened in each of their lives to draw them to yourself, to bring true repentance and faith. And Lord, we thank you. And Lord, we thank you because in many cases of us here tonight, you have done the same for us, and we just rejoice in your goodness. Lord, we do pray for these who've shared their testimonies with us this evening. We pray for Wanda and for Dathan, for Jessica, for Andrew, for Emma, for David, for Briggs. Lord, thank you for each of their stories and for the unique ways that you have woven their stories together and brought them to this point. And now, Father, I pray that you would continue your work in their lives. Thank you that your love was set on them before the world was created, and that you brought your Son into the world, having given them to him, and he came to redeem them to himself. Thank you that we are in Christ. Those of us who have believed, he is now our representative, and we get everything that he has earned and everything that he accomplished and always will. And we will only get what he deserves because on the cross, he got what we deserved. We thank you, O God, for your grace in Christ. And it's in his name we pray. Amen.